Hour number two, Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday. Time now to talk to the great Tim Hasselbeck, of course, from Innsworth, their head coach in ESPN as well. Timmy, what's up?
What's up? How you guys doing?
Hey, we're talking about a win. I didn't think we were going to be doing that.
What a great win, huh? Like, it just was just in control, top of it. Just felt like sky's bluer, coffee tastes better. Like when you just have it in hand like that, don't you think?
That was just, I mean, you've seen wild games in your career, but the range of emotion of a Titans fan in that game, I'm sure was nuts. But they got it done. They found a way.
I mean, just take two plays. Take two plays. You got a running back who, a week after A.D. Mitchell does it for the Colts, lets go of the ball at the goal line. Okay, so like you have that, so you just take two plays, that play, and then you have an interception that turns into a touchdown for the offense. I'm not sure, like if you are, like think of, like where I think people around here are laughing about, like, hey, you know, we'll take the win and this and that. Think if you're the Cardinals right now.
Oh.
Like think how they must feel, like there's no shot, like that might be the worst loss ever, like in the history of football, to have it happen on two plays like that.
Oh man, it was bad. But look, and Joe's going to talk about dropping the football because he's obviously very heated about that. What do you see from Cam Ward? Because I felt like the first three quarters there was still a lot of concern. He's missing receivers, or it's hitting him right in the hands and they're dropping it. Which, yep. Is that on them? Is that on him? But then
that's,
you look at that.
Yeah. You know what I think, honestly, and like, and I, you know, for my job, like the way I, you know, take notes throughout a game, and like every quarterback misses throws, every quarterback deals with drops and stuff. I keep saying it, and like I feel strongly about it. It's a dependent position, and I don't think the guys around him are making plays. Like, there are too many times where it's like, look, we just expect you to catch that football. I mean, everyone can talk all they want about, you know, the year Dak Prescott is having, and he's getting MVP chance when he's in, you know, in New York. Well, just like go look at some of the plays that have been made by his receivers. Like, you need guys to make catches when the ball isn't just hitting them right in the face mask. And so I think that's a huge issue for the Titans. I think it's a huge issue. So, like, I think, look, can the quarterback be more accurate? Like, you always can. But you still need guys to make plays for you.
Sure. Oh, I 100% agree with you. When you look at that throw he made to Calvin Ridley on the final drive, yep. I mean, like, put it in a bucket. It was just it was perfect. How do how does he learn from that and replicate that? I know that's easier said than done, but when he does things like that, that's good Cam.
I think that he has a couple of throws every game where you go, yep, like it makes sense. This is why he was drafted where he was drafted. I think you see a couple every game. I think there are some quarterbacks that, you know, have been drafted high where, like, that hasn't been the case, where, like, you wouldn't always see it. So I actually would say that, like, I think he has replicated things. I think there have been some of these throws where you're like, wow, like, that was really good. And also to put it in, like, some perspective, like, you know, Drake May had a really tough rookie season. But, like, you know, there were glimpses of the good, and I think there was maybe still some people who were like, well, you know, like, we'll see. But now, like, as he's, you know, another year in the NFL and all that stuff, like, you start to see, like, oh, okay, yeah, like, now I see it more. And then the other thing that's happened is the players around him are better than the players that were around him last year. And the coaching around him was better than the coaching that was around him last year. And so he's played better. Like, that's the reason for it. So I've heard some people kind of start to get the, I don't know. I mean, it's just like the voice inflection of, like, I don't know. Like, is Cam Ward going to be the guy? Like, I think it's way, way too early to have those conversations.
I totally agree with you. Tim Hasselbeck joins the Chasing Big Joe show. Tim, I got to bring it up about the drop of the ball on the goal line. A friend of mine, a coach, called me on Sunday and said, hey, this all goes back to 7-on-7. We're going to see more of this because these guys in 7-on-7, they all do this. How do you talk to your football team about not doing this?
You know what's crazy is I haven't spoken to my team about, like, hey, don't drop the ball at the 1 yard line before you cross the goal line, because I think it's so ridiculous that I'm like, if I have to address that,
right,
then we've got bigger issues. But it probably is worth talking about. Like, you know, all these guys that, you know, think of all the choreographed celebrations that we see people do now and all the different things people are talking about. That's what I believe is the, you know, the genesis of all of this, which is you're so eager to celebrate that you don't just finish the play.
Right.
And so it's like you're not making the main thing the main thing. The main thing is go score the touchdown. And then, you know, you celebrate with your teammates afterwards. Like, that should be the afterthought. So I really think that it's guys that have been, you know, they're like, oh, if I score, I'm going to do this.
Yes.
And so now they're like so in a hurry to get into their celebration. Like, that's because there's really no, like, when guys race, you know, when they run track and they race in the 100, like, they really don't, you don't start celebrating until like after you finish because you want a good time. You know, like you want to finish the run. When you run a 40-yard dash at a football camp, like, you run through because you want to finish the time. And so, yeah, it's crazy to me. I think the weird part about it is that, like, it's been such an expensive lesson to learn because it's embarrassing, all the different things, that to have it keep happening is wild.
No, I totally agree with you. And again, he's like, it's not going to stop because these 7-on-7 celebrations, they get 10 yards. They're celebrating because they got 10 yards. He's like, it's not going to stop. Maybe this, what happened on Sunday, will stop these guys. And the fact, Tim, right now that the Arizona coach apologized for getting in the face of the running back yesterday during a press conference, I got a problem with that because that guy lost the game for him, Tim.
Yeah, I didn't see the apology, and I'm not remembering how, like, significant, like, the getting in his face was. I mean, maybe he said something
right
that was more, you know, demeaning than coaching. And so maybe that's what the apology was for. I would hope that was the case, but, like, look, like, to me, that there's a difference probably between somebody makes a dumb play of saying, hey, like, that was stupid versus, like, you're stupid, right? Like,
yes.
There's two very different things. And so, yeah, like, I would guess that maybe it was along the lines of, you know, in the heat of the moment of, I can't believe you just did that, you know, getting on him for that. But, look, Look, yeah, like that's a losing play. It's the Mike Vrabel quote. There's good, there's bad, and there's the stuff that gets you beat. Like, that's stuff that gets you beat.
Yeah, how would Bill Parcells have addressed this?
No, I mean, he maybe would have grabbed the guy's face mask and yelled at him. cut him the next day, to be honest. That's the other thing.
Right.
Just cut him the next day.
Yeah.
We're talking to Tim Hasselbeck, ESPN NFL analyst. So what is a win? You know, they're not pretty. They're not all pretty.
Yeah.
What does a win like this do, though? Can they use this as a jumping off point? They're going up against a team that I think the Raiders are maybe a little better than the record shows, but they're kind of in the same boat. You know, they're struggling. They're trying to find themselves in the first year of Pete Carroll. So how can the Titans use this as a jumping off point?
Yeah, I think you always have to celebrate the wins. I think you always have to do that. And so it's hard to win games in the NFL. I mean, look at the Ravens, who've been a perennial, very good football team. Or, shoot, the Chiefs, for that matter. So, like, winning games is hard. And, I'm kind of making fun about, you know, the way they won. But, like, it's a win. And, you know, you're like, it's a starting point. So, in the NFL, when you go into the facility after a loss, it's like a funeral. It really is, because there's just so much paranoia about job security and all of that stuff. So I do think that there can always be momentum with it, because, you know, the flip side of it is it's just so bad after losses. So, you know, that's why, I do think that even though it's like, man, we were fortunate to come away with a win here, I do think you have to kind of embrace it and celebrate it. So what can it do? I think it can tell you, like, look, we didn't play great and still won a football game. So if we actually fix the things that we know we are doing wrong, well, then we can be way more competitive. And so hopefully it just like a basketball player seeing a foul shot go in and all of a sudden to get back on track, that same type of process.
You know who's been sneaky for the Titans is Chigakonkwo. Like, he's kind of been one of the most reliable receivers that Cam has had.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that there have been moments, you know, for other guys. The problem with that is like, you need receivers to be reliable targets. Like, take New England, for example. Hunter Henry has been the most reliable guy in New England. And that's like, it's been fine. But next thing you know, you see a receiver step up and become a reliable target. You're just way more explosive on offense. And so, you know, now it changes the dynamic of your explosiveness.
Yeah, Tim, yesterday we had a lot of people calling in like, well, Arizona gave that game away. They gave the game away. But my thing, Tim, was Titans still had to go down and score three times. So you take advantage of opportunities, don't you, that present themselves?
I mean, you do, yes. Now, and you're right. Like, it's, you know, there are unforced errors in every football game. So, yeah, you're right. And that's a little bit, you know, I think, you know, to Chase's question about just how, like, okay, like, we're fortunate to come away with a win, but how can this be a, you know, a springboard for us? Yeah, like, you that's what you do. You're going to look at the positives. It's no different than a team losing a football game and saying, look, guys, we just had a slow start. You know, like, we actually won the second half. You know, like, you didn't lose the game, but, like, you are finding, you know, the positives in it. And so, yeah, like, look, you responded enough to say, yeah, like, we still were able, like, we caught a break here, but, you know, we still had to win the game. We still had to kick a game-winning field goal.
Right.
Something that our kicker has never done before. And, oh, he missed a chip shot earlier in the game. So, yeah, like, I do think that you always point to those.
Speak to this real quick. A game like that, winning like that, friend of mine texted me and said, winning that game on the road is better than winning it at home because of the ride back. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Right?
Yes, because you get on the plane, it's late at night, you know you're going to get back, and so if you lose, then no one is really allowed to talk.
Right.
For the bus ride, the plane ride, like, it's different. I mean this. Like, it's probably too much the case. Losses feel like funerals. Like, when you go in the next day, it feels like a funeral. And then obviously it's like that, you know, when you are leaving, leaving the stadium. But wins are the exact opposite. And maybe like Mac Brown said this to me one time about his coaching career. He's like, you know, I need to find a way to enjoy the wins as much as I hate the losses.
Right.
Like, it's very true, because, like, that's what I mean about, like, it being a funeral site. There's so much paranoia about coaches keeping jobs. And I'm talking top to bottom, from, you know, the head coach all the way down through, you know, strength coaches, you know, not even position coaches, just saying, like, okay, we underperformed, like this is affecting our career. So, yeah, there's no doubt that a win like that on the road is helpful. And I think the other thing that it does is, like, when you win like that on the road, like, you didn't have to experience any boos in a victory. If that game were at home, there would have been boos in that game. And so you didn't experience that. There was definitely a period of time when I was at the Giants where I was like, you know what? We're better off playing at the road, because Eli is just getting booed out of the stadium, and it doesn't help us play any better.
We'll have more with Tim Hasselbeck on the rest of the NFL coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game, here on this Tuesday, continuing our conversation with Tim Hasselbeck from ESPN. So what do the Bengals look like with Joe Flacco, Tim?
You know, they're better than they've been. Look, I didn't think Jake Browning was going to be the answer. They've revolved so much about their success, and look, probably rightfully so, around, Burrow, that – you know, I think that they, you know, probably, like, and that's fine. I think, like, you could say that the Bills do that same thing, right, around their quarterback, or, you know, the Ravens do that around their quarterback. But I do think that, like, when you look at those teams, you know, they've they've signed quarterbacks that have been starters before, you know, and or shown enough to say, like, all right, if we got to play four games or five games or six games, you know, with this guy, that we can get wins. I don't think Cincinnati did that. And so it's one of the reasons I thought, like, right away when Burrow was hurt, I was like, honestly, they should find out about Jameis Winston right now. Like, they should – like, they should do something so that their season isn't over in September. So, I think that's, you know, I don't know. Might sound pretty rich, like a former backup quarterback and people, you know, saying that. But like, I think you've got to invest in it. Like, look at what Washington did. Washington has had, Marcus Mariota has had to start two games already for the Commanders.
Yep.
So I think it's important. It's not like a big cost prohibitive move to go sign someone like Mitchell Trubisky or somebody like that to put yourself in a situation where your season's not over if your starter's going to be out for a month or so. I think that, you know, trying to adjust to it, you know, on October 7th, I think typically is too late, but I think it's also better than what you've been doing.
You know this better than anybody, that sometimes the quarterback needs the right system and the right coach. Does Trevor Lawrence finally have that in Jacksonville?
Yeah, it feels like it a little bit, because I think that he's been coached really hard. Like, I don't think Liam Cohen really knows it any other way. I think that's how he's going to coach, which I think is going to benefit a lot of times first rounders, who sometimes coaches don't feel like they can come in and coach really hard. So, you know, he's being coached hard. He's got a little more experience as a pro player. And then, you know, also to be fair to the guys that were there before him, he's got better surrounding talent than he's had before. So, you know, I think it's a combination of those things that are happening to help, you know, him have a better season, you know, at least through this point than he was in previous years. But like, there's also been some, I can remember the play early in the year where, you know, Liam Cohen's kind of, you know, ripping him for an inaccurate throw and he kind of waves him off. And like, I don't, you know, part of it is like the player has got to embrace being coached tough as well.
All right, we got to give you credit, Tim. You said on this show before the season started, you were talking about Drake May, and you said the Patriots got themselves a quarterback. I loved watching him Sunday night, because you're exactly right. Made good throws, stood in the pocket, got hit hard, rallied the team, and I loved what he said after the game about having teammates and just the guys making plays. I love that, because you could tell the confidence in him. Yep. What did you see early on about Drake May to realize he's the guy?
I called his first start at North Carolina.
Oh.
And I guess like Florida A&M or someone like that. And I talked to him, you know, in the pre-production meeting, talked to him on the field before the game, watched him, and I was like, holy cow, this guy is incredible. And then, you know, was calling games in the conference for a while and got to see him a bunch. And I just was like, I mean, I've said this, like, he's about as good of, I think he is. Like, you know, Matthew Stafford was an incredible prospect coming out. Like Trevor Lawrence to me, like, I'm just trying to remember, you know, Andrew Luck was obviously a very good prospect coming out. Like, I think Trevor Lawrence was as good of a prospect coming out of school as anybody in my, you know, whatever it's been, 17, 18 years working at ESPN doing that stuff, like, that I've seen in terms of physical ability, maturity, leadership, competitiveness, like all of those things. And so I really think that there's a class of quarterbacks in the NFL, Justin Herbert, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, that I think like physical skill-wise, like they're a cut above pretty much everybody else in the NFL, right? Like that are like that.
Right.
Then, I guess what I would say is, in that category is Drake May. He's in that category in terms of ability. And so I think you saw that in the game. Like when you think of the plays that are typically Josh Allen-like plays,
right,
where it's not blocked correctly, you need to be like stiff arming a 300-pound defensive lineman, you know, finding a way to convert, like doing that multiple times in the game. Like that's who I think he can be. And that's why I think for New England, I think they have their coach, and I think they have their quarterback. Uh-oh. And when you have that, you got a chance to be pretty good.
They do. I want to tell you this quick Nick Saban story that I saw this weekend. I think you'd like it. He talked about in high school how he called plays. They were in the state championship game. They're down a touchdown. They're on the 15-yard line. They got fourth and goal, and his coach says, whatever you call, it better work. And Saban says he went back to the line to the huddle, and at that moment, his coach called him back over and said, remember, think playmakers, not plays. And he goes back into the huddle and calls a play for one of his playmakers, a setup. And, Tim, I thought that's one of the most impactful coaching motivation things I've ever heard. Remember your playmakers, not the plays. Is that how we should look at things when the game's on the line?
100%. And that's why, look, we, you know, how we started the conversation about how's Cam Ward playing. Who are his playmakers?
Right.
Like, who are his guys? Like, you couldn't get a unanimous decision out of anybody if you're like, all right, got to have it. Fourth and eight, need to have it. Who do you need to give the ball to? You know, who do you need to try to get open? Like, you couldn't get a unanimous answer out of that. Like, you take New England, who we were just talking about. Got to have it moments the other night. What did they do? Like, they were dying to get the ball to Stephon Diggs. Like, that's what they were trying to do, you know? And so I think you need those things. Like, but in order to think players, not plays, you better have the players.
Tim Hasselbeck is with us. So, you know, getting into October now, do you feel like we have a good idea of who's for real and who's pretending, or do you still need a few more weeks to let that be more clear?
You know, I think you have a sense. I think you have a sense because when you look at it, you have more data on, you know, how many games you've played, some injuries, things like that. Like, I'll give you an example. The Chargers. Everybody was all over the Chargers. Yep. But here's the deal. They're so injured right now, they're not a serious team. Like, the way they cannot protect the quarterback, they're not serious. Look, we know way more about the Titans than we did. Now, could a team like Baltimore, that's not a good team, like, could they turn it around? They could. But they've given up something like at least 37 points in every single one of their losses. So there would have to be a pretty significant correction. Now, they got a lot of guys out and some of them returning. But, yeah, I think we've got a pretty good sense of – but look, at least on the edges, the teams that are really good and the teams that are really bad, we absolutely know about them.
Do you think Tampa Bay with Baker is good enough to get over the hump, or are they still good enough to win that division, get into the playoffs, and then kind of see what happens?
They're good enough to be a Super Bowl team. Yeah, and I mean, obviously you're going to have to beat a team like Philadelphia or somebody like that, but like, I don't think there's any question. Like, he's a good enough quarterback, and they can definitely be a good enough team to at least, you know, make it competitive.
How are we doing at Innsworth?
Other than the fact that literally the power just went out as you were asking me that question, we're doing well. We're coming off of a region win, playing CPA this week. So we're good. And that brings us into our bye week, which always comes at a good time to get the bumps and bruises, healed up. So, it's the My 30 TV game of the week. So since you refuse to come to any of our games, Joe, you can sit on your couch and watch it.
Well, I was going to say, of all the schools that don't have any money, can't pay their power bill, Innsworth is right at the top. So
it might be this weather. Like, what's the deal with this weather here? Like, we're not supposed to be playing in, like, cold, rainy days.
That's your Boston weather. You love this weather.
Yeah, no, this is, like, this is not good throwing the football weather right here.
I get that. Let me ask you this. Tomorrow night, I got to call the MTSU game. It's on a Wednesday night. And they haven't played in a week and a half. And I know what the difference is, but from your coaching standpoint, playing on a Wednesday night, how odd, different, difficult, easy is this?
Yeah, I think it's unique from the standpoint of, like, your whole week, you know, changes. Now you get a little extra prep time, that type of stuff. But, I think that, you know, it's a little bit like Maxion, right? Like, you got to be ready to to kind of be like, all right, like this is my, you know, your, I guess, what does that be? That your Thursday is your Sunday and your, you know, and you do it that way. So, you know, oftentimes like you do get a little extra prep. The fear in that is you do too much. But you should have like fresh players ready to go. And then when you, like my experience with players is, you know, when you play and you're kind of one of the few games that are on,
yeah,
you know, it's a much more exciting, better environment to play in.
Yeah. I mean, it's on national television. I just, the preparation, like today they're checking into a hotel room tonight. And then tomorrow you're going through your game day when it's a Wednesday. It just always seems odd to me like that. But the payoff is you're on national television tomorrow night.
Exactly right. Then you should have a bigger audience than you'd have if you were playing, you know, on Saturday at noon.
Yep.
Tim, appreciate the time as always. Please go get the power back on, and good luck Friday night.
All right. Sounds good. See you, fellas.
See ya. Tim Hasselbeck joining us on the program, Innsworth football coach and ESPN NFL analyst. There's this video that's,
right,
I guess, gone viral on that I saw the other day, and I laughed pretty hard at it. And this girl comes home and it's dark and there's candles going up the stairway and it looks like really romantic. And so she's following it and like it's taking her up to like the bonus room, and she walks in and like there's candles and a heart and her boyfriend's standing there. And she's like, oh, this is so sweet because you forgot to pay the electric bill.
Can we do a quick GoFundMe for Innsworth to get those lights back on? I'm worried over there right now.
I know, right?
Man, gosh. Prayers out to Hasselbeck and the crew at Innsworth right now. It's tough to work in the dark.
It is. 615-737-1025. Jim Wyatt going to join us at 2 o'clock today to talk Titans. We'll have more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.